Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh's Radio is now on the air. And I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. All right, we're doing a series called Revealing the Number of the Beast 666 on the Edition, Part 65, but we have made like a slight detour, but we still going to touch on that. But in the same token, remember, the Beast Day is right around the corner. Of the 7th month, the first day, and it's a mandatory thing for the children of Israel to keep that feast day. And remember one thing, we can't let nobody stand before us, tell us about what's blessed without showing what the Bible's saying blessed first. If you quoting the Bible on what is blessed, then you're okay. But if you mislead the people on telling them what blessed is, that's a disservice. So all that got to be clear. You have to know what is blessed and what is not. Because remember one thing, Satan is in the blessing business too. But Satan is contrary, teaching is contrary to the Bible. We'll get a case in point after we all see him coming on stage. For take number 65, we'll get a case in point. That's why you got to be clear that we have to, you know, do a lot of things, and we want to make sure we do it right. So we're going to see if we bring the young lion in, Brother Titus. Let's see if he's coming on stage being peacefully. We'll find out in a minute. Is he ready to roar on that microphone? Is he coming peacefully? So when you meet the young lion with a loud voice, you say, young lion, Brother Titus Israel, one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1. Yahweh be to FC, right?
Yahweh bless you there. Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal.
Hello, Yahweh there, young lion. Excellent.
Young lion, we're gonna
touch on, got a few memos we're going to touch on along the way. Because we got to be clear that we see a lot of our loved ones, and they means well, but they have to understand that it is a teaching that we've been indoctrinated in all our life. And if you thoroughly investigate the teaching, you're so soundly that it's not correct. So we're not anti-anybody. We just pro 12 tribes of Israel. So we're going to let you know that you got to do some things. We'll find out what you got to do in a second. Let's just take a look at Luke chapter 12. Verse 12. Let's get something going on there, young lion. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit would do the teaching. So Paul was addressing the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, young lion. He was addressing them to forewarn them on some things. And let's see what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, down to verse 22. What did he say that we can read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, down to verse 22? What did he say that, young lion?
The book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 20 to 22. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 20. Read. "The signs now prophesied," verse 21, "prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Verse 22, read. "Abstain for all appearance of the evil."
So he said, despise not prophesizing. Oh, why despise not let's get a precept on that. What do you mean by it? What do you mean by that? In 1 Corinthians 14, young line, what do we mean by that? Despise not prophesizing. What do that mean? And how you find out what it means is by precepting your Bible. We're going to first, in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, pick it around by verse 37. We'll read all the way down through it. Let's see what it says that we can read there, young line. Corinthians chapter 14, 37 down to the around about 40. What's that say there, young line?
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 37 through 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37 reads, "If any man think of himself to be a teacher or seer or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahuwah."
Well, in that point right there, young line, you don't bring seer in at all to that, because if you are... if you're going to be a teacher or a leader in that kind of perspective, he said, now, if this is your interpretation, if this was on your mind to be a teacher, otherwise to lead men and women, if this is what you have on your mind, keep reading. What do you say?
1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 37. "If any man think of himself to be a teacher or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahuwah." Verse 38.
So right there, hold that part right there, right there. So what he writing to you is the commandments of Yahuwah. So now let's precept that. See that's what I like about when you'll know if anybody ready, because you'll watch him all of a sudden, that spirit will come up on him and tell him, yeah, that's a great verse. Now put a precept with it. So when you see somebody that can, every verse in the Bible has a precept out. So he says now, what Paul said, what he's writing to you, it is the commandment. So now, in the 24th chapter of Acts there, young line, can you have those see out? And what is Paul trying to say and the 24th chapter of Acts. And we look at verse 14. What is Paul saying? Let's see what he's saying there, young lion. 24, verse 14. What is he saying?
The book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 14 reads, "But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, to worship I, Yahweh, my Father, believing all things which are written in the law and the seal."
Read that again. Take your time with it, young lion, because you're on something. And see, we try to, see, we come on this network six nights a week. And our job is to help those that's going to be part of Zechariah 13. Because, see, what we got to hold that point there, young lion, let's run to Zechariah 13. See, what we hear is to help those that are going to be part of Zechariah 13, verse number 8 and verse 9. Remember, we on this airway six nights a week. But we can't go no further than what this Bible is telling us to do at that time. So we really on this broadcast six nights a week to help those that's going to be part of Zechariah 13, verse 8. What does it say?
The book of Zechariah the seer, chapter 13, verse 8 and verse 9. Zechariah the seer, chapter 13, verse 8 reads, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said Yahweh, two parts therein should be cut off and die, but the third should be left therein." Verse 9. "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as Syria is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Yahweh."
Now, see, now that's big talk right there. That's big talk. So, That's very big talk right there. So now, I gotta precept something, young lion. Because yeah. See, Balak made a profound statement. See, now we're gonna take care of what we just got through reading. We'll come back to that, but I want to come back to what Balak said. Balak made a profound statement. And he said something, and see, you know, also to Israelite has a lot of game sales. We want you to know something that he said to Balak. He made a profound statement to Balak in the 24th chapter, and I want to pull it out, young lion. He said something to him in the 24th chapter. Verse number 12, and we'll read down until we get our point. Listen good there, Sister BSJ Israel. Listen real good, Sister BSJ Israel. Listen real good at this right here. In 24th chapter of Numbers, pick up verse 14. Let's read down until we get our point.
We're going to the book of Numbers of the law, chapter 24. You're going to pick up at verse 14. Number 24, verse 14 reads.
Hold on, young lion. Hold on, young lion. 24, pick up verse 12 and read down until we get our point. Pick up verse 12 and Numbers 24, verse 12, and we will read down until we get our point. Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 12 reads, "And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to your messengers, which you sent it to me, saying," verse 13, "if Balak will give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of Yahweh. I do either good or bad of my own mind. But what Yahweh said, that will I speak.
So you see, that's right there. Hold on right there, y'all. See, I want y'all to understand plainly that we can't do no more than what Yahweh give us to put on tape. And we're not anti-anybody. But you've got to recognize something genuine is like fool's gold. You got to recognize fool's gold. I know it shines real good, but you got to recognize fool's gold. Because it can get past you. And I'm going to tell you something. Fool's gold is at a higher rate today than ever. Fool's gold is understanding the Bible. We going on fool's gold. That's what we're going on. So that's why you got to prove all things and hold fast what is good. But in the same token, hold fast with what is good. But now you got to ask the question, what is good? Then Yahweh made it plain to the young man, what is good? Listen to what Yahweh says in the 19th chapter, verse 16 and 17, on what is good. Now we're going to find out what is good. What does it say? Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. What does it say that young line?
We're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. That is Yahweh the Father. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments.
You see the man saying, and that thing, and you see where Paul pulled that from. So if you're going to enter into life, you got to keep the commandments. See, if you're going into life, you got to keep the commandments. So in the 31st chapter of Exodus, young lion, we're going to the 31st chapter of Exodus. Now, listen to what's said here. He said, now, if you want to enter into life, you got to keep the commandments. That's what you got to do. Now, listen to what he says in Exodus 31, verse number 1. Let's listen to what he says in the 31st chapter, y'all live. What it say in verse 1 and 12 down to verse 14? What it say?
The second book of the law, the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verse 1. Get down verse 12 to 14. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath shall you keep. For there is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am Yahweh that do sanctify you. Verse 14. You should keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is righteous unto you. Everyone that defile it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work thereof, that soul, person, should be cut off from among his people.
Mm-hmm. So, but here's the point. We want to do right, but when is the Sabbath day? We want to do right. I know that a lot of people want to do right. They have been duped on by what he's saying. Then your pastors will tell you, we keeping the Sabbath day. We just only keep ours on Sunday. That's what their pastors will say. And guess what? They'll continue paying their tithes, free will offerings, doing all the donations they can and all the help they can. They continue to do this. But do you know what the Bible says in 3 verse 4 of Romans? What do the Bible say in 3 verse 4 of Romans, young line? Put them off here. We're coming right back. What do the Bible say in 3 verse 4 of Romans?
We're going to the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 14. The book of Romans, chapter 3.
3 verse 4. 3 verse 4.
Verse 4. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 4. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 4 reads, Yahweh forbid, yea, let Yahweh be true, for every man a liar, it is written, that you might be justified in your sins, and might overcome when you are judged.
Yeah, read that again, young man. Look at it real carefully and read it real good for the national audience to really hear what you just said. Because we're going to read a verse, we'll come back to that 31st chapter. But listen what Yahweh says out of the mouth of Paul in 3 verse 4. Take your time, young lion, and deliver the knockout blow. Come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 4 reads, Yahweh forbid, yea, let Yahweh be true, for every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your saying, and might overcome when you are judged.
Right. Let Yahweh be true, and let every man be a liar. Listen, if your pastor, your teacher to stand before you and tell you, well, our Sabbath day is Sunday. If they tell you that, then you got to have the ammunition to say this to whatever pastor it is. It can be the Pope, whatever big dignitary is your pastor. Then you gotta say in 31:15, explains. The Bible explains what day the Sabbath is. The Bible tells you what day the Sabbath is. Let's see what the Bible says the Sabbath is in 31 verse 15. What do the Bible say the Sabbath is? Come on.
The second book of the law, the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verse 15 reads, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh, is the Sabbath of rest, righteous to Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
Now read 15 again there, young lion. So when we read 15 again, listen. Do you hear what Yahweh is telling Moses to put in writing? Because he knew man was going to come, and we're going to show you what man was going to come in Matthew's and in the book of Luke, chapter 4. We're going to find that a little later. But he knew man was coming. And we're going to find out about this man that was coming. And 31, verse 15, read that again, just the strong points, but we can get a quick precept. And if we want to tie it in right there, we can break it down there by having this verse right here in 15. Let's say in verse 15 again.
The second book of the law, Exodus chapter 31. Verse 15 reads, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, right?
Okay. Stop right there. And that day is righteous to the four-letter man. So now, what day is righteous to the four-letter man? It is the seven, which is the Sabbath. That day is righteous to the mighty one. See, understand something. He knew man gonna come behind it by the working of somebody. We're gonna find out shortly, and tell you what our Sabbath day is. Sunday, the first day of the week. It don't make no difference about what day you worship him. You can worship him every day. That ain't what he's saying. Listen, that's why we got to understand that so many is going to make it and so many is not. But some want to do right, but their pastor won't. And they've been stuck through generation to generation. But it's time now to give me a precept what it's time to do now. And 13 verse 11 through 14 of Romans, young line. How about a precept in the 13th chapter of Romans, 11 down to verse 14? It's time to do what?
Go in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, read. And that knoweth the time, that is now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting or drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put you on Yahweh, Yahweh the Son, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Mm-hmm. You say you got to put on Yahweh. That's what he said. He said you got to put on Yahweh. But how did Yahweh say you put on him? How did he say how you put on him back in the 31st chapter there, young lion? How did he say you put on him in 31 verse 15? How do you put on a four-letter man in 31 verse 15?
Exodus chapter 31 verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Righteous to Yahweh.
Excellent, right there. Excellent. That's how you put on. That's how you put this on. The Sabbath day is righteous to him. We just go because our loved ones is at the place. Listen, do you understand the salvation is nearer than you think it is? But you will have to make a choice. You can't let a pastor keep telling you, your teacher keep telling you, every day is a Sabbath day. Every day. It's a Sabbath day. Any day. But we chose to do Sunday. No. Chose to do Sunday. Sunday was put in your four parents' mind, and it's in their mind today, and we're going to show you the origin of where that come from. But understand one thing. Don't let them use that, well, we keep Sunday for our Sabbath day. Because that's wrong. That's not Bible. That's man just talking to stay with the powers to be of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, back up to the 16th chapter there, young lion. In the 16th chapter of Exodus, I want to hear it again.
Yes, sir.
In verse 26. 16:26.
We're going to the second book of the law, the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Verse 26 reads, 6 days should you gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there should be none.
Okay, now we're gonna go high horse right now. We're gonna do a little high horse teaching now. Let me see the young lion deliver the knockout blow in Genesis 2:1-3. Now we're gonna go high. Now we're gonna hit the stage to see what the young lion working with. Let's see, with what we just got through reading, let's see him go into Genesis chapter 2 and read 1, 2, 3 and take care of business in edifying the congregation of the children of Israel that's scattered all over the world. Let's see him deliver the knockout blow. Let's see what he do. And we're going to watch him real carefully. In Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3. We're going to lay the foundation out. Now we're going to see the young lion going to do an up-and-coming teacher out of Camp 1. Come on.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, read. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, Sabbath, Yahweh ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Yahweh created and made.
So what day is the Sabbath day, according to, what day is the Sabbath day, young lion, according to Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3? So what day is the Sabbath? The seventh day, what day? And the word is, so when we read that word seven in 2 verse 3, we're supposed to plant the seed that in Genesis 2 verse 3, number 7 is what? Although it's not there, but it is there with the precept. So what is there after we read 2 verse 3 and say the blessed day is the seventh day? What can we put in there to enhance that with the verses that we got? Which is the Sabbath? So which is the Sabbath? So listen, the members that go to these churches, you can't let your pastor keep telling you the Sabbath day, we do it on one. And Sunday is one. You look on your calendar, see, Sunday is in the far left-hand corner. That's one. That's the day of the sun. Number one is not the blessed day. So you're not losing your blessing if you're not keeping number one, which is the day of the sun. Matter of fact, you stretching yourself for salvation. Because Sunday, you're not losing your blessing by not going to a church on Sunday, because Sunday is the first day of the week. That's one. The blessed day is number seven. So when your preacher try to hem you up and try to tell you, look, why you ain't coming on, you're going to lose your blessing. How can I lose something that I don't have? Sunday is the wrong day. I only been coming because I've been duped all my life. My parents was duped. Everybody was duped. But I found out now I can, 9:25, what it say in St. John 9:25 anyway, young man? Brother Chris, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good. But what do it say in 9:25? I don't know. But let's read and see what it say in 9:25 of St. John.
Book of John, chapter 9, verse 25. John, chapter 9, verse 25 reads, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that wherein I was blind, now I see.
Ain't that something? He said, I don't know where he's going, where he's been, or whatever. One thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see. I can see plainly, Mr. Preacher. And you know, my parents and my family members have given you a lot of money. But you're teaching us wrong. You can't tell us Sunday is the blessed day. Sunday is not the blessed day. Sunday is number one. Matter of fact, even the big dignitary can tell you that.
For your first job, working as an intern with
yes.
Will Smith,
yes.
You say to them,
yeah.
Look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Is he? So you can't let your preacher hem you up and tell you that if you don't come on Sunday, you're going to lose your blessing. No. If you wake up, kind of thing, it ain't no blessing on that day. Do you know who the origin of gave you going to church on Sunday? Do you know who gave you that? Do you know who gave it to you? It happened all the way back in Adam and Eve, 57, 1 through 11, that young line. It started with the mindset of in the garden, out of the garden, and then Adam and Eve was approached by somebody. Let's find out what happened in 57:1 down to verse 11. Let's see what the origin of something coming that we can read. First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57:1-11, what it says.
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 1 to 11. First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 1 reads, but when Adam came out and saw his hideous figure, he was afraid of him and said unto him, who are you? Verse 2, then Satan answered and said unto him, it is I who hid myself within the serpent, and who talked to Eve, and beguiles her, deceive her, until she hearkens to my command. I am he who sent her through the wiles of my speech to deceive you, until you, and she ate of the fruit of the tree, and ye came away from under the command of Yahweh. Verse 3, and when Adam heard these words from him, he said to him, can you make me a guard as Yahweh made for me? Or can you clothe me in the same bright nature in which Yahweh had clothed me? Verse 4, where is that divine nature you did promise to give me? And where is that fair speech of yours you did hold us at the first when we were in the garden? Verse 5, then Satan said unto Adam, think as you that when I have spoken to what about anything, I should ever bring it to him or fulfill my word. Now so, for I myself had never even thought of attainment that what I add. Attainment what I add. Verse 6, therefore did I fall, and did I make you fall, by for which I myself fell, and which you also, whosoever stepped my camp, falls thereby. Verse 7, but I, O Adam, by reason of your fall, you're under my rule, for I am king over you, because you have hearkened to me, and have sinned against your Yahweh. Neither would there be any deliverance from my hand until the day promised you by your Yahweh. Verse 8, again he said, and as much as we do not know the day agreed upon you by your Yahweh, nor the hour in which you should be delivered, for that reason we will multiply war and murder upon you and your seed after you. Verse 9, this is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of man to inherit our order in heaven. Verse 10, for as to our bones, O Adam, it is in the burning fire, and we will not see our evil doing, no, not one day. nor 1 hour. And I, O Adam, shall sow fire upon you when you came into the cave to dwell there. Verse 11. When Adam heard these words, he wept and mourned instead of to eat. Hear what he said, that he would not fulfill up of what he told you in the garden. Did we really then become king over us?
You see that?
I swear.
So you see, that's it, 1 through 11. So you see, here go the origin of being disobedient to the understanding what Yahuwah set up. Now, read again in first book of Adam, verse 6, 7, and 10. Listen good at verse 6, 7, and 10. You know, really kind of flap your ears and listen good what he says in Adam and Eve 57, 6, 7, and 10. Listen good what he say. What he say?
First book Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 6, 7, and 10. First book Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verse 6 reads, therefore did I fall, and did I make you fall, that for which I myself fell, and which you also, whosoever accept my counsel, falls thereby. Verse 7, but now, O Adam, by reason of your fall, you are under my rule, and I am king over you. Because you has hearkened to me and has sinned against your Yahuwah, neither would there be any deliverance from my hand until the day promised you by your Yahuwah. Verse 10. For as to our abode, O Adam, it is in the burning fire, and we will not see our evil doing, no, not one day, nor 1 hour. And I, O Adam, so sow fire upon you when you cometh into the cave to dwell there.
Uh-huh. So you see, so here was what Satan told Adam. When you come out from under Yahuwah's rule, you belong to me. I become king over you. Yahuwah got rules and regulations. But when you break the rules and regulations, then you can talk Yahuwah or whatever name y'all decide to want to call it. But when you break the rules of Yahuwah, you no longer up under Yahuwah, but you mean well. But your preacher is lying to you, and you continue to go down that slippery slope. When you break what Yahuwah tell you, and he told you plainly, his Sabbath day is number 7. Sunday is number 1. You can't lose no blessing by going to worship your mighty one on 1. Matter of fact, you lose your blessing once the knowledge comes to the table. You lose your blessing because you're not worshiping him. Do you know who you really worshiping? When you go to church on Sunday, the first day of the week, do you know according to the Bible who you really worshiping? According to the Bible. We go on to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see who you really worshiping when you go to church on Sunday, the first day of the week. When let the Bible tell you who you worshiping? I mean, see, that's why, you remember when we read Balak said, I can't do no more than what the man tell me to do. We prove all things, hold fast what's good. See, we just only the messengers. And this message is going to be the one that we read in Zechariah are the two-thirds that hear this and pump their brakes. So, whoa, This is too plain. Whoa. Game of two-thirds gonna make it. So our job is to identify the wrong that to do right, but all the way you gonna do right. Romans 3 verse 4 says, let your mighty one be true, and every man a liar, because your mighty one made it plain in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. This is what your mighty one said. This is what your mighty one left in writing in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. See, what are you leaving right in that young line in 8 verse 3?
The fifth book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 reads, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which you knew is not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know, that man do not live by bread only, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh, do man live.
Man live by what Yahweh say. If Yahweh say the Sabbath day is number seven, then that's the end of it. Preacher, you can't tell me that our Sabbath day is number one. You can't tell me that no more. You can't tell me, and you cannot hijack my family members to keep on going with that. It ain't no blessing in going to church on number one, because that's not the blessed day. You can't hijack me no more. I read where it says in St. John 9:25 says, what he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know, when I was blind, but now I see. I see that Sunday is the day of the S-U-N, the day of the sun. And we read in the book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57 through 11, but 6, 7, 10, when you come out from under your mighty one, you in the hand of Satan the devil. Yeah? So now when we go to Matthew chapter 4, so now here go, remember, always understand one thing. Your test from always come from the top. According to 1 Peter 4, 17, 9, and verse 19. This is this verse. So who Satan got the test first? You got to come from the top. How we know? Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 4, 17. Let's read a little bit, young man.
Okay. We're going to the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Read. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the temple of Yahweh, and then first begin at us. What should the end be of them that obey not the covenant of Yahweh?
So you see, he always starts from the top leadership and work himself down. He always knock off the top, shake him up real good, and keep working his way down. So what we tell you, Satan understand that rule. So now watch Satan. He's going to start from the top. And let's see what happens. We're going to Matthew chapter 4. Now watch Satan. He understand that too. That Satan starts from the top. Whoever in the top leadership, that's the first one he's going to want to hit in the mouth. And destroy the flock of his sheep. Let's watch him operate in the fourth chapter, verse number 8, down to verse 10. Let's analyze this by the young lion in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, down to verse 10. Listen to this. What do you say?
Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 reads, again, Satan the devil, taking him up into the seely high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms in the world and the greatness of them. Verse 9, and said unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Verse 10, then said Yahweh the Son, get you here, Satan, what is written, You should worship Yahweh, your Yahweh, and him only do you serve.
You see that? So you see what you see, Yahweh. So he let you know he was tempted. But how did he withstand him? He used the scriptures. He said, get behind me, Satan. We only supposed to worship Yahweh. We only worship Yahweh. Okay? But Satan told him, if you worship me, all that you see, all the kingdom, how big you want your plate, how big you want it, I give it to you. But in return, worship me. You want, how many you want? 5,000, 10,000 seating room. I don't have no problem with that. I can do it. I'm in the blessing business too. But my blessing business is temporarily, which I'm not going to tell you, contrary to Yahweh. Listen, I give it to you. But one thing you got to do for me, worship me. The Almighty says in Genesis 2:3, blessed be the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. Sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. Ignore that. And you do your Sabbath day and tell your flock, we're going to do it Sunday morning, the first day of the week, from 9 o'clock in the morning all day Sunday. See? So who are you really worshiping by keeping Sunday, first day of the week, 9 o'clock in the morning, 10, 11, and 12? You're not worshiping Yahweh. And here go to, remember we read earlier in Thessalonians, prove all things, whole thing, fast what's good. And we read in the 19th chapter of Revelation, Matthew, what is good was keeping the Father's, that's what's good. Then you precept that to Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and 16. What it says, in Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and 16 there, young line.
All right, we're going to the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 12 and 16. Romans, chapter 7, verse 12 and 16. Romans, chapter 7, verse 12 and 16. Romans, chapter 7, verse 12 reads, wherefore the law is righteous, and the commandment, righteous and just and good. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
See, so what's good is keeping the law. That was good. So keeping the law, it's the law of what Yahweh passed down to man of the 12 tribes of Israel. Keeping the law is keeping the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week, not the first day. The counterbalance, which is Satan the devil, but Yahweh forewarned us that he was coming to the table in St. John 14, 29, 30. He was already forewarned for the teachers to be aware of him in St. John 14, 29, 30. What say your line?
We're going to the book of John 14, 29, and 30. John 14, verse 29 reads, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Verse 30, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me.
You see what he's saying? The prince of this world is coming and he ain't got nothing in me. I told you Friday night, Saturday night is my worship day for people that's going to follow me. Satan said, no, we're going to do it another day. And Satan said, if you do that, you're not up under his rules. You're up under Satan the devil's rules. Because in St. John chapter 8, young line, it makes it plain in St. John chapter 8, verse 4 or 3, and we'll keep reading down until we get our point. St. John 8, 4 or 3, we'll keep reading down until we get our point. Come on.
The book of John, chapter 8, verse 43 reads, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Verse 44. "You're of your father, Satan, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it."
Yeah. You hear a man saying? He said, if nothing this man saying is correct. Ain't nobody told Adam? He said, whatever I tell you to do, I ain't never tell you nothing's right, but I'm going to hope that you take it right so I can deliver you up. He said, I'm trying to kill you. I know what the mighty one said, but I'm going to tell you contrary to what he's saying, because I'm upon the covenant too. My covenant, I am by definition what I am. And anybody tell you Sabbath day is Sunday, our Sabbath day is the worship day, they only the definition of what we get ready to read 12 verse 9. This is the this what's going on before your eyes. Revelation 12 verse 9. What's really going on? Before your eyes, this is what's going on when they look you and tell you you're gonna lose your blessing. How to lose my blessing coming on the wrong day according to the Bible? Then you're gonna justify and tell me Sunday is the blessed day. Sunday not the blessed day. I can't lose no blessing by coming on Sunday. I lose my blessing if I continue to do so. Look at the definition when somebody stand before you and tell you you're going to lose your blessing if you don't come to worship on Sunday. Who doctrine is that? Let's find out 12 verse 9 of Revelation.
End time prophecy. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 9 reads, "And the great dragon was cast out, an old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his wicked angels, evil angels, was cast out with him."
You see that? You see that? Anybody tell you that Sabbath day is Sunday, the first day of the week, they are deceived. That's the doctrine of Satan the devil. That is the teaching of Satan the devil. That's Satan's teaching. Then Yahweh tell you that the prince of this world coming, he ain't got nothing in him. He's a liar in the father of life. He going to lie to you on every point, because I got a covenant with him to deceive you if you don't want to go with what I got written. And once I send the seers, send the elders, and the elders send the teachers to you, if you don't conform to it, that's on you. But we're telling you now, you're not losing no blessing by not going. Matter of fact, how can you lose something you ain't got? You ain't no blessing going on no church or no first day of the week. That's the wrong day. That's like getting out there on the expressway where it says, do not enter, and you enter in anyway. What are you going to call? You think you have a smooth ride by going down a one-way street and the cars coming before you? How you think your ride going to be? And folks, you got passengers in there, and you on a busy expressway coming down the wrong way. What's going to happen? Is it going to be chaos? Exactly what's going on when you keep it Sunday first day of the week. It's chaos. So you tell that preacher to get on his knees and do the right thing. Huh? Sunday is not the Sabbath day, period. Sunday is number one, the day of the sun. When you're going to church on Sunday, you worshiping Satan the devil. Yeah, man. That's why we laid some verses in early showing you that prove all things and hold fast what is good, and good is keeping the law. Then we read about Balak and Balaam. He said, listen, I can't do no more than what Yahweh tell me to do. That's all I can do. That's what I'm trying to tell you. All I can do is what he give me to do on the run. To let you know, I know the WCC, World Council of Churches, Roman Catholic Church out of New York, they all keep Sunday. They all worship and save the devil. That is it. Well, you put the scriptures to it. Sunday is the wrong day. I don't care how good it looks. Satan just told you. Hey, what you want, I give it to you. Then you precept that in Luke chapter 4, and listen what Satan said to top leadership called Yahweh the Son. Listen to what he said. Then what we will do, we're going to comment on what he said. Then we're going to go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and tell you, don't marvel about this. We're going to read this coming up in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to find out exactly what he tried for Paul to tell you. If you bow down to Satan, you become upon the Satan. And we're going to find out what Paul told the Corinthians, northern kingdom, about the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to find out in a minute. But what are we going on, young man?
We're going to Luke chapter 4.
Excellent. Luke chapter 4. I like that, young man. That's what I'm talking about. And Luke chapter 4, young man, pick it up at verse 4. Let's read down and listen what it says. Listen what the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, 4 down to verse 7. Let's hear what the Bible says. Remember we read in Romans, let Yahweh be true, and every man is a liar. You can't tell we know who you are fond of, but once you hear the truth, you're supposed to make adjustments. You're supposed to fall on your knees, leadership, and say, well, we got to change today because we wrong. Because I'm going to hell, I'll be burnt in the fire, and I'm going to take y'all with me. So I'm going to make adjustments. But let's see when you show them the scripture, let's see what they do. Let's see what song and dance they give you when you show them what the Bible says. They'll tell you, like a brother said on the last Saturday, well, you know, the Bible, if it ain't, you can put other stuff with the Bible. No, you can't put nothing with the Bible. You can't put nothing with the Bible. How we know that? 34:16. Read that, young line, Isaiah. No, you can't put nothing with the Bible. Ain't no man can put nothing with the Bible. You know why? Because the Almighty said you can't do it. Let's go to 34, verse 16 and 17 to show you that the Almighty said you can't put nothing with the Bible. You can't put no research, no science, no Quran, no Judaism books. You can't put nothing with the Bible. How we know?
Right.
Let's see what Yahweh say. 34:16-17, what he say?
The book of Isaiah, this year, chapter 34, verse 16 and 17. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16 reads, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read, and one of these shall fail. And none of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded. In his spirit, it had gathered them. Verse 17. And he had cast the lot for them, and his head had divided unto them by line. They shall possess it forever.
They will do what? That's right.
They shall possess.
When you seek out the book of Yahweh and read, this Bible don't have no make. So don't let them tell you about the Bible got a make. Yahweh said they don't have no mate. You don't have a alternative book for the Bible. The Bible stands alone. The Bible stands alone.
Yahweh.
And then in 1 verse 3 of Revelation, and if you follow the Bible, look what you're really up under in Revelation 1 verse 3. Let me show you what you're up under if you follow the Bible. if you follow the Bible, not no man, because every man's a liar, according to Romans 3, verse 4. Let Yahweh be true, and every man is a liar. If I come speaking my mind, I'm a liar too, because it's too much in his Bible to talk about. All he's supposed to do is read the verses and let you hear. It's up to you to make the judgment. Revelation 1, verse 3, what it say?
End time prophecy, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 reads, blessed is he or she that read it, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand.
You see the man saying? You blessed if you keep what's written. And so you blessed if you keep what's written. You ain't blessed if you keep what's not written. And what's written that put the blessing on that you need. Like the mother say out of Camp 1, the blessing you need. So what is the blessing that you need? Genesis 2, verse 3. He said, you're blessed if you keep what's written. What's written in Genesis 2, verse 3?
We go on to the first book of the law, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3. And Yahweh blessed the 7 day, the Sabbath, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works, which Yahweh created and made.
You see that? So you see, that was written, and Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day, which is the Sabbath, which he had created and made. See? That's the blessed day. The Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week. He said, you're blessed if you do what's written. So I'd like to be a fly on the wall when you show that to your pastor and say, what this mean, reading in 1 verse 3? What you mean, we? I'm reading we, no, we following you. My parents follow you, and you got it from some, yeah. No. But we ain't following the right person. Look, Mr. Preacher, I'm going to give you your tithes. I'm going to still donate my time and my free will offerings. But why we can't do the Bible Sabbath day? What is the reason why we can't do the Bible Sabbath day? Because what we're doing now is man Sabbath day. We're not doing the Bible Sabbath day. The Bible Sabbath day is what the big dignitary said it is.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Mm-hmm. So you see, now when we go back and read Luke chapter 4, out of verse 7. Listen at this. See, what your preacher's supposed to do is like when you tell the first mother of the church, oh, hey, first mother, your slip is hanging. Oh, thank you, baby. They pull his slip up. Is that right? They pull his slip up because it's hanging. Thank you. So when you tell them what the Bible, they're supposed to tell you thank you. They're supposed to go into no song and dance because they can't go in the Bible and prove nothing. So they now they're going to look at you with a suspect eye and say, you might be listening to the voice of the true Israelite. No. Yeah, I haven't listened to them, but I'm following along according to what's written in that Bible. And I understand that 1 + 1 = 2. And if I add anything to 1, it ain't 1 no more. Huh? What is these verses saying? And so give me a Bible definition of if anything to contradict what I'm showing you in writing, show me in the Bible. Don't talk a good game. Read a good game to me. What it says in Luke chapter 4, thrown out of verse 7. Listen to this. Listen to this. What it says, young man.
The book of Luke chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 7. Luke chapter 4, verse 4 reads, and Yahweh the Son answered him, saying, it is written that man do not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh. Verse 5, and Satan the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, and showed him, and showed it to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6, and Satan the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the greatness of them, but that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7, if you therefore will worship me, all should be yours.
He said, all this power is delivered to me, and I can give it who I can give it to whosoever I will. He said, it was given to me. Now, what's the precept of that? What was given to you? Ephesians 2:1-2, to reach to get our point. Now, listen to what he's saying. You hear the man saying, he said, otherwise, the power was given to me, and I can give it to whosoever that worship me. So who is going to worship you that we can read? We'll precept the Bible to Ephesians 2 and pick up verse 1, and we'll read down to get our point. So who going to worship you, Satan? Let's find out in writing who going to worship Satan the devil. Verse 1. We'll read to get our point. Come on.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 reads, and you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Ain't that something? You hear the young man read, Satan works in the children of disobedience. That's what he works in. When you tell the mother of the church your slip hanging, she take your baby and pull it up. You gonna tell your preacher we worship the wrong day, and he gonna give you a comeback, then you know that Satan worshiping him, because he works in the children of disobedience. Or what the law? Do you know what's written in Malachi 3 verse 6 and Hebrews 13 verse 8? Well, if you don't know, young lion, getting ready to read. What are you reading in Malachi 3 verse 6 and go right over to 13 verse 8? And what is he reading in Hebrews 13 verse 8? Satan works in the children of disobedience. You showing her exactly what the Bible saying, but now he going to give you some lip in a comeback. What comeback? Do the same thing mother did of the church. Pull up, slip up. Thank you, baby. My slip was hanging. Thank you for telling me. When you correct your preaching, he falls in love it and do the right thing. Because it ain't about him. It's about the flock that wants salvation. They won't drink the water of life. You can't drink the water of life by drinking the water of condemnation. Good. It's up to you. When you bring it to him, he supposed to say, thank you. Thank you, daughter, for putting me on the right track. You folks get on the microphone and tell 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 members, well, we're not keeping Sunday, the day of Satan the devil. We keeping Saturday, Friday night, Saturday night. See? Take one step at a time. We'll get them out there, Lord God and Jesus, another time. But first of all, get the right day going. Get the right day so you can really receive the right blessing. But it starts by you changing the right day to the Bible day. Why you got the Bible in your hand and you ain't gonna do nothing the Bible says? Why you come in and spread the Bible out there talking in the Bible, but you on the wrong day? It's just like making a wrong turn going down the expressway. Do not enter this way. Do you think that ride going to be comfortable going down the expressway on the wrong way and cars coming before you? What you going to be doing with your steering wheel? You're going to be all over the place, won't you? You think you'd be cruising by going down the wrong way? No. You're going to be in chaos. And that's the same thing. Chaos. That's up to you. See, remember we read the precepts over there in 1 Thessalonians. Prove all things, hold fast what's good. We read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37. We read that. Now, I think it's read 37, 9, and 40 one more time, a young line. This is what he said in 1, now he's talking to the northern kingdom, which your preacher taught, think you're talking to some Gentiles. Yeah, he talked to the northern kingdom, Gentiles of the 10 tribes. See, but that's another level. Wow. But this is what Paul says in the 14th chapter, verse 37 down to verse 40. Watch what the young lion deliver. Come on, young lion, deliver.
All right, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 to 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37 through 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 reads, if any man think himself to be a teacher or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahuwah. Verse 38, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order.
Let all things be done decent in order. Do you know what we got written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 and 13? Chronicles. Do you know what he got written in Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 and 13? Do you know? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll read it for you. In 1 Chronicles 15, verse 12 and 13, what did y'all read in there, young lion?
We're going to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12. Verse 12 and 13. It said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both you and your brother, that you may bring up the ark of Yahuwah of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Verse 13, for because you did it not at the first, Yahuwah made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order.
You see that? The due order. Yahuwah, then that same thing Satan said. You're not up on the Yahuwah's. When you're not doing the Almighty rules and regulations and due order, you're not up under his rule. You can call on him with all the names you want to call on him, but you got to be in due order. He made a breach on the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, because they would not do due order. And he told them plainly in the 28th chapter, verse 47 down to verse 50. Listen what he said. He said something just as plain to them. Then he also gave them a sign on what he's going to do too. Let's read 28:47 down to verse 50 first. Then we're going to bag up a little bit, and you're going to take your little business. And then you tell me who this fit. Give me 28:47 through 50 first to get warmed up there, young lion.
Yes, sir. We're going to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the law, chapter 28, verse 47 through 50. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 reads, because you serve is not Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48, therefore shall you serve your enemy, which Yahuwah has to sin against you in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he hath destroyed you. Verse 49. Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flight, a nation whose tongue you should not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which should not regard the persons of the old, nor show favor to the young.
You see that? So you see, so you know you watch the eyes on the prize every year, and when they fall all out and say, I don't care if you beat me. You say, well, I'm going to beat you anyway. I'm going to stick dogs on you, put waters on you. Mm-hmm. These are all that's going to happen to you because you don't want to serve me. You're going to serve your enemy. You hear me? He said, you don't want to serve me. I told you plainly in 2nd Ezra, help me out there, young man. I told you plainly in 2nd Ezra chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. I said something just plain to you. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Z. Mother Z got right on the case right away. 2nd Ezra 7,
That's
21 to 23, what it says.
2nd Ezra, the seer, chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. 2nd Ezra, the seer, chapter 7, verse 21 reads, for Yahweh has given straight commandments to such as came, what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. Verse 22. Nevertheless, they were not obedient to him, but spake against him, and imagine vain things. Verse 23. And deceived themselves by their wicked deeds, and said to the Most High Yahweh, he is not, and knew not his way.
Is there, what you said, young man, what you read, they deceived, you deceiving your own self with your wicked deeds. You deceiving your own self. But remember what young man read. But if they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant by themselves. If your preacher don't, you give him this tape right here. If your preacher don't make a judgment, then you be by yourself. He's right here. Give him this tape. Tell him, let me take your telephone for a minute and put in, just say on the telephone, YHWH Radio Live, tape number 65. Preacher, would you listen to it? Yeah, I listen to it. Yeah, listen to it. That's all you both do. Except, got to say upon what you a pastor? Yes. Take your phone and put in YHWH Radio Live. Okay, I did it. You see what it says? Voice number two is right. Click that. Then take 65. Listen to it and tell me what you think about Take 65. Then we're going to talk. What you think about it first. Then we'll talk. That's what you do for your pal. Don't tell them what's on it. It says, Take 65, listen to it, and tell me what you think about it. And let's see what he do with the same thing the mother did. Oh, your slip was hanging, mother. Oh, thank you, Mom. She pulled it up. See that? Let's see what he do when you take his phone and say, and then and read with the rest of the big dignitary and say, listen, just take your cell phone and say, YHWH Radio Live. Oh, then just press that. And now listen to it and get back with me. Don't tell them nothing was on it. Just listen to it and get back with me. That's it. Now, young lion. Now here go the signs about paying the Almighty. No, never mind. And we're gonna bring Mother in after this. Let's see what the signs is when you're not paying him. No, never mind. Now we're gonna see who it is on. And Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 down to verse 37. Let's see what's going on. And Deuteronomy 28. 15 down to verse 37. Young lion, come out.
Going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 15 to 37. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 reads, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, and deserve to do all his commandments, and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Verse 16, "Cursed should be in the city, and cursed should you be in the field." 17, "Cursed should you be, cursed should be your basket and your sword." 18, "Cursed should be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, and the flock of your sheep." Verse 19, "Cursed shall you be when you cometh in, and cursed shall you be when you goeth out." Verse 20, "Yahweh shall send upon you curses, vexation, and rebuke, and in all that you set your hand for unto to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doing, whereby you have forsaken me." Verse 21, "Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto you, until he have consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it." Verse 22, "Yahweh shall smite you with the consumption, and with the fever, and with inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish." Verse 23, "And your heaven that is over your head should be brass, and the earth is under you should be iron." Verse 24, "Yahweh shall make the rain of your land powder and dust from heaven, shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed." Verse 25, "Yahweh shall cause you to be smitten before your enemy. You shall go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth." Verse 26, "And your carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away." Verse 27, "Yahweh shall smite you with the box of Egypt, with the emerald, and with the scab, and with the itch, wherewith you canst not be healed." Verse 28, "Yahweh shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of mind." Verse 28, verse 29, "And you shall group at noonday as the blind groupeth in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoil evermore, and no man shall save." Verse 30, "And you shall be got, and you shall be caught a wife, and another man shall lie with her, and you shall build an house, and you shall not dwell therein, and you shall plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof." Verse 31, "Your ox shall be slain for your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored unto you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemy. You shall have none to rescue them." Verse 32, "Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and death should be no might in your hand." Verse 33, "The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which you knewest not eat up, and you should be only oppressed and crushed always." Verse 34, "And you should be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see." Verse 35, "Yahweh shall smite you, smite you in the knees and the leg with a sore box that cannot be healed. From the sole of your foot unto the top of your head." Verse 36, Yahweh shall bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, until nations with neither nor your fathers have known. And there she serve other most Yahweh, wood and stone. 37. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where the Yahweh shall lead.
Verse 45. Do y'all hear that? Y'all hear it? Now, who this happened to? And guess what? Do you know the reason why this happened? Watch what he said in verse 45.
Verse 45, Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearken, listen not unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep his commandments, his law, and his statutes, which he commands you.
You see that? So all is going to happen to you because you not keep the law, statutes, and commandments. So you see all this that you read now? All this is going to happen to you by not keeping his law, statutes, and commandments. Get down to verse 64, down to verse 68. So you see what he's saying? See, Roy is all over the world, over 900,000 strong on the international side. All these curses are going to happen to you because you don't want to keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. And if you look at yesterday's tape and tie it in, it'll show you that you made an agreement with him all that you said we would do. It's okay, good. All this happened to a people, a nation of people, because they would not keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. Look what Young Lion getting ready to read in 64 down to verse 6. What you reading, Young Lion?
Deuteronomy 28, verse 64 to 68. Deuteronomy 28, verse 64 reads, and Yahweh shall scatter you among all people from one end of the earth even to the other. And there shall you serve other false Yahweh, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. Verse 65. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. For Yahweh shall give you, therefore, a trembling mind, a failing of eyes, and a sorrow of mind. Verse 66. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. Verse 67. In the morning you should say, with Yahweh, it were even. And at evening, you should say, with Yahweh, it. With Yahweh, it were morning. For the fear of your mind, wherewith you should fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you should see. Verse 68. And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt, bondage again with ship. By the way thereof, I spake unto you, you shall see it no more again. And there, you should be sold unto your enemies, for bond man and bond woman, and no man shall buy.
And nobody is going to redeem you out of this right here until you return back to his word. Until you return back to what's written in 45, keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments. The only way you can get off under this right here, you must return back and keep his laws, statutes, and commandments. Verse 64, listen good.
Verse 64, Deuteronomy 28, verse 64. And Yahweh shall scatter you among all people, from one end of the earth, even to the other. And there shall you serve other false Yahweh, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone.
You didn't know nothing about no wooden crosses and stuff like that. And every time you go to worship on the wrong day, you will run into a cross sign, or the preacher behind the rock that got a cross sign, he behind it.
That's right.
You didn't know nothing about no wood, no cross sign. You never knew nothing about that. Then all of a sudden you said, well, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go to Penn State and I'm going to graduate. I'm going to come out and I'm going to be Islamic. I'm going to be a Muslim. And now you're doing the stone thing. Now you over there worshiping a black stone called a Kaaba. He said what you was going to do. So this is what you were going to do. You were going to do the cross, and that's what you're doing today. He said, well, all this is the reason why you got scattered. He said, but what you're going to do, that coming out to the Lord, they're going to worship a wood, which is a cross. People's got all around in that, on their cars, everywhere hanging wherever they bind or whatever they call that thing, that mirror. They got it on their body. The preacher got it behind, and he behind his rostrum. That's a cursed thing that you see, Roy. He said, this is what's going to happen to you. Or you mess around with the black cobblestone out there in Mecca. Do you know Mecca, we do research, was the number one slave trade the Arabs brought you to? Mecca
That's
was
right.
the number one center capital of the slave trade to be bought and sold from Mecca, the children of Israel. Did you know that? Did you know Mecca was the number one hot spot to get the slaves and got them there and sold from that point? Mecca. Huh? You didn't know that, did you? Huh? That was the number one slave trade to whoever wanted to buy you. That it came out of Google your phone and found out what the number one slave trade before Mr. White Man, the red man, got his hand on you, was the Arab from Mecca. See? Yes, sir. Read verse 45, young man.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you. It should pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh. You keep his commandments, his law, and his statutes, which he commanded you.
Hey, but what signs would be on the people you're talking about in 35? What sign do I look to see what we're talking about? According to verse 35, what would I look for to see who these curses on by reading verse 35?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 35. Yahweh shall smite you in the knee and the leg with a sore box that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot up to the top of your head.
Oh, he says the people that he's talking about will be smitten in the knees. He said they will be smitten in the knees and in the legs, and they'll be so butch that cannot be healed. Ain't that stuff? You see what he do? He's talking to Moses in 1400 BC. You the man saying? What he says in verse 27.
Verse 27, Deuteronomy 28. Verse 27 reads, and Yahweh says, mighty with the box of Egypt, with the emerald, and with the scab, and with the itch thereof, that you cannot be healed.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by you going on? And Yahweh says, mighty with the box of Egypt, and with the embers. You know what the embers is? That's hemorrhoid. He gonna give you some hemorrhoid. He gonna give you hemorrhoid. Ain't that stuff? Then you guess what? Is he say he gonna spite you with the scab. He gonna have you where you are looking for Chinese, Japanese to have to put on your head, and you gonna put it on your head, and you gonna put on something that in the 13th. Let me bring mother in, because this is what you gonna put on your head. He said, I'm gonna smite you in the head. And
right.
Guess what you're gonna do? And guess what you're going to do? Let that brain mother in. You hold that pointer. I ain't do that. He said, I'm going to smite you in your head. That's what he just said. Mother Eve, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Y'all why bitch just see right here. Hey, Mother Eve. Mother Eve, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Y'all why bitch just see right. Mother Eve. Where Mother E at? WCC, what's wrong with Mother E's microphone? See, we working on her microphone. We have it up shortly. Okay. Okay, he said, I'm going to smite you I'm going to smite you because what did he tell you about that in the book of chapter 13? You know what I'm saying? He said
yes,
something
sir.
About that in Leviticus 13. What did he say in Leviticus 13 that we can read? He said,
going to the book of
let's see what we want. He talks about something in Leviticus 13 there, young man. He makes a say, hey, Mother Eve, with your microphone up, just say hallelujah, Allah. And then we know you ready to go. WCC said working on your microphone. So when your microphone ready to go, Mother, say hallelujah, wow. Then we know to bring you right on in and help share some of this load with the young line. So in the page of 13 there, young line, let's see what was said. Think of verse 29.
Yes, sir. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 29. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 29 reads, if a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, verse 30, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him or her unclean. It is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or beard.
So he said now, if leadership see you with yellow thin hair on your head, otherwise looking like Beyonce, with all that yellow in the hair, that's blonde. Mm-hmm. Now you got blonde hair all over your head from India somewhere. You got them now in India, cutting off the hair on their head, dropping it into some yellow paint. You know, because their hair didn't come that color. So they got a job by cutting off the hair on all the India and places like that, especially India. And they got a big factory where they got yellow, big old pots of dye, yellow dye. They cut their hair off, make a plate up on it, and drop it into the, and now you got your yellow, you got a blonde wig on your head now from India. Now your hair can blow all around. But let's see what Yahuwah say about that yellow hair on your head. You got yellow hair on your head. Let's see what Yahuwah says about that. Get down verse 32.
All right, verse 32. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 32, read. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in the sight deeper than the skin.
So otherwise, if you don't have no yellow hair on your head, and the priest look upon it, then the priest going to look at you in 7 days after you know that you got that blonde wig on, so he'll look back at you in 7 days. And then he'll say something to you in verse number 34. Let's see what he said to you if he look back on you and you don't have no more blonde hair on your head. What are you going to say to you in 34?
Figure 13. Verse 34, and in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull, And behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in the sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce them clean, and he shall wash his clothes.
Okay. That's right. So you pronounce clean. Now, once you understand that blonde, that is a commercial from Satan the devil by saying blonde have more fun. But no, in the Bible of the ancient Israelites, if they had yellow hair in their head, they was pronounced by leadership as unclean. But once they were told about the yellow hair in their head, and they made adjustment to it, and they came back with the same wig, they said, okay, now you clean, because you made adjustment, because you did make adjustment with it. Because he told you, I'm going to smite you with the on your head, right? So, but here's the one that ain't going to pay that no never mind. Let's see what Yahweh got for the ones that ain't going to pay him no never mind. They told that. Verse 36.
Leviticus 13, verse 36. Then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the scar be spread in the skin, the priest shall not see for yellow hair. He is unclean.
So when the priest tell you, the least you tell you that blonde hair is not for the children of Israel, whoa, and you don't make adjustments, he said you what in the last, he or she is what?
Unclean.
All right. Then what do the person supposed to do if they could continue to wear the yellow hair on their head, knowing it's unclean? How they supposed to approach any member of the children of Israel according to 44 and 45? What they supposed to do according to the Bible? What they supposed to do? Whether you ain't gonna pay leadership, no, never mind. You gonna continue with your yellow hair on your head. When you come around an Israelite or any of the 12 tribes, what you supposed to say out of the mouth verbally? Let's find out. Verse 44 and 45.
Leviticus 13, verse 44, 45. Leviticus 13, verse 44. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes should be rent and his head bare. He should put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean.
So when you want to wear your yellow hair, when you come out here tonight, you supposed with a loud voice say what? With a loud voice, you supposed to say, soon you come in presence of another Israelite, you supposed to say what? Y'all lying?
Unclean, unclean.
Ain't that something?
You see what the Bible saying?
So listen, children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, ain't nothing wrong with wearing wigs, no doubt about it. But don't paint them yellow. Don't mess around and go yellow. Because he told you he's going to smite you in the head because of you being disobedient. He already told you. She's already reading. We're going to read. We might as well read it. Listen, WCC. See, is it a precept to that one right there? Yeah, it's a precept to that. But,
you know what?
I take care. But listen, if you got yellow hair in your head, because I already told you I'm going to smite you in the head. That's clear. So you see, you're going to be smart. You'll be smiting the head. But don't mess around and go get you no yellow hair put in the head. If you do that, that means when you're among any of the children of Israel, you're supposed to say immediately, unclean, unclean. Because it was already prophesied that I'm going to get you. Because something you're going to do, he told Isaiah in the third chapter. He said, I'm going to get you. Remember, if you read in Deuteronomy, right, I'm going to smite you in the head. Now, here's the reason why I'm going to smite you in the head. Now, he told Isaiah to pick up on what he left off on. That was enough for Moses. I'm going to show you why I'm going to smite you in the head. Isaiah put in the book why I'm going to smite you in your head.
Right.
We're going to find out right now. Let's look at 3 verse 12. Isaiah 3:12. And then we'll read a little bit from there. Let's find out why I'm going to smite you in the head.
Book Isaiah is here. Chapter 3, verse 12, read. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that which lead you, cause you to err, and destroy the way of your path.
13,
Yahweh standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. 14, Yahweh will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for he has eaten up the vineyard. Blood of the poor is in your house. 15. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Said Yahweh of hosts. Verse 16. Moreover, Yahweh said, because the daughters of Judah are hardy and walk with stretched forth necks, wanting eyes, walking and missing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. 17.
Hold on for me, 17. He said, the daughters of Judah is the African American Negro in color. He used a word called a hardy. He said, what that word mean? He said, because he's going to do this to them because the daughters are haughty. What's that word supposed to mean, young man? Can we get up? Can we, in a way, we can define that? What do you mean by they haughty? What that mean? The daughters of Judah, that means that's the one that's called African-American and Negro tribe, they haughty. What that word mean? Come on, tell me about that word right there. What it mean?
Okay, you're going to find the word haughty, haughty definition. Okay, I got the definition of haughty. Arrogancy, superior, disdainful.
Read that again.
Haughty, arrogancy, superior, and disdainful.
Ain't that something? All that. So you said because the daughters, they got a puffed up attitude, and they got stretched forth neck, and with wanting eye. What do they mean? They see a pretty car come down the street, and you got your little your bicycle, and their eyes get to look at the pretty car and forget all about that you brought your skateboard over for her. And you got skateboard for yourself, but they see somebody come down in one of them Bentleys or something, and they neck turn all the way around. You see what it is? So let's see what Yahweh say he gonna do if they halty with a stretched forward neck. You know, I ain't gonna get into it. Verse 17, what Yahweh say going to do?
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 17. Therefore, Yahweh will smite with a scab the crown of your head of the daughters of Judah, and Yahweh will discover their secret part.
You see what he's saying going to do? You see Yahweh say going to do? He said Yahweh going to smite them in the scab of the crown of their head. He said, I'm going to smite you in the head. He said, I'm going to smite you in the head. So remember, he told him Deuteronomy that won't happen. So at time, 700 years progressed on, he told Isaiah to get a precept to it. He said, I'm going to smite the daughters of, and that's why you see the daughters of Israel in every Chinese and Japanese place trying to get some blonde hair on their head. And that what they do? Yeah. You see them, they can't open their door without the daughters trying to get up in there and get some blonde hair on their head. See that? and the blonde hair come out of China and India. They got a factory made up in China and India. They're having the Chinese women and the India women, you know, cut their hair off and go right back. You know, so they have created a job market for the India women and the Chinese women to cut their hair off and dip it into the blonde paint, because the daughters of Judah is going to need it, because Yahweh going to smite them. Well, according to verse 17.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 17. Therefore, Yahweh will smite with a scab the crown of your head.
Go ahead.
Of the daughters of Judah, and Yahweh will discover their secret part.
Is he going to discover their secret part? Now, what are you talking about that? What are you talking about that? What is that spray bottle that the secret part you got to use? Why? Because Yahweh told you over in 22 verse 5 something. He told you in 20, really discover your secret part, because he told you in 22 5 or something. Look, he told you in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. What is that spray called? Can't think of it. Well, you know, and this is why you have to use that spray, because Yahweh told you in 22 verse 5 what? What did Yahweh say in 22 verse 5?
The fifth book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 reads, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abominations to Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Oh, he said the woman should not wear what's pertaining to a man. We ain't get off into the lesson, but what's pertaining to a man is breeches, pants.
Right.
Only reason a woman don't have on pants is because that's their job requirement. But when they come up out of that job, they supposed to take them pants off and put their garment on and come up out of there. Pants. So he knew they were going to wear pants, and pants was for the men. The woman got a job, got to have pants. They might have a job jumping those fish child, chase down some of these soul brothers. Got to have pants for that. But when you come off that job, you'll put them pants in that locker room and put on your dress with number 15, 37-39. Neely, soon as your time is up, you supposed to go down there. You know, I remember that Clark Kent and Superman thing? You supposed to do the same thing when your time is up. You supposed to do exactly what Yahweh tell you to. Man, live by every word he say. Do what you supposed to do when the job is over if you wear pants. You supposed to do what? 37. 15:37-39. What
does
it say,
y'all? Numbers chapter 15, verse 37-39. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them, order them, that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, that they may put upon the fringe of the border a red band of blue. Verse 39, and it should be unto you for a friend that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments, the laws of Yahweh, and do them, and that you
mm-hmm.
seek not after your,
go ahead.
and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes after that which you used to go a whore.
Well, what he said 22:5? Come do the Romans.
Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither should a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to Yahweh. Yo, Yahweh.
So, You remember what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, prove all things, hold fast, was good. Remember what we read over there in Numbers 24? It says that all I'm going to do is what Yahweh tell me to do. That's the same thing I'm trying to tell you. You know, I wish I didn't have so many, backbiters, murmurs, complaints. I wish I did, but that comes to territory. See, all we do is show what the Bible says. We don't know what we're going to teach on. The Spirit would lead the lesson. So he said, I'm going to smite the daughters in Deuteronomy with the scab on the head. See? And then they're going to mess around and start. They're going to put on the yellow hair on their head. But the only thing about it, every time you show up, I'm on the Israelite, they'll say, I'm unclean. Why? Because I got blonde in my hair. You know, he told you it was going to happen to you, and he told you why. Because you're going to be haughty. He said, you're going to forget your position, and then you'll forget what he don't like in 3 verse 12. Read verse 3:12 again. See, you're going to forget your position as time go on. And that would happen by the children of Israel. They forgot. So in 3 verse 12, look what he said here in 3:12 again.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that which lead you called you to error and destroy the way of your path.
You see that? He said, children are going to be your oppressors. I'm going to tell you something. When I get on the bus, when I see them, I have to pick my tag get on them buses, because when you see them little young teenagers on there, They just scared those fear. You know, I got on a bus one time and young teenager get on the bus. Bus driver said, "Hey, you ain't paid your fare." He said, "I ain't gonna pay no fare." Oh, the woman, little girl told him, young high school, if you don't drive that bus quick enough, I drive it for you. Yeah, mm-hmm. I ain't paying you nothing. He's a golden and sit down. See that? They scared me. When I do get off the bus with a bunch of teenagers on, I had to fall against the fence while I kiss my butt. That's how they scare me. Yeah. Then he said, not only that, women's going to rule over you. And that's why he called them haughty. Women do not supposed to rule over that man. They supposed to humble themselves before that Yahweh name. Hey. But he said, he's Isaiah, but he's going to come a time that women's going to rule over men. And that's going to make them what? In verse number 16, what word are they going to make them?
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. Moreover, Yahweh said, because the daughters of Judah are haughty and walk with stretched forth
neck. Yes. They're haughty and walk with stretched forth neck. So you see, so he was already saying what they're going to do. The children of Judah, the one called African American Negro and Color. Now you know how they talk now? Look, if you don't act right, I'm going to take my foot and put it where the sun don't shine on you. That's how they talk now. Sure. Huh? But we could read, they didn't talk like that back then. Early part of Deuteronomy, they was tender and delicate. Now they'll put that foot where the sun don't shine on you right now. And love doing it. You see that? But it's already prophesied what's going to happen. Then Yahweh said, since you know it's going to happen, what he say he's going to do in verse 17 and 18? Now look what Yahweh said he's going to do. Now we're just going to read. I'm going to come in after this read. Look what he said he's going to do when you tell the man, especially Yahweh, man, that I'm going to put my foot where the sun don't shine on you. See that? You see that? Get on out of my face. Why? Put my foot where the sun don't shine on you. You see that? Let's see what Yahweh say when you say that. When you say that, let's see what Yahweh say you're going to do in 17
and 18. Isaiah chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18, Isaiah chapter 3, Verse 17. Therefore, Yahweh will smite with a scab the crown of your head, the daughters of Judah, and Yahweh will discover their secret part. Verse 18. In that day, Yahweh will take away the bravery of their tinkly ornaments about their feet and their coals and their round tires like the moon.
You see that? So he's going to take away your dress wear. The way you want,
right.
The way, if you bring back up the children of Israel, the way they want dress, he's going to take that away from you. All because you become haughty. When you get out of order, he make a breach on you. He got an order about that. If you get out of the order of Yahweh, like the order not keeping Sabbath day, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday, that's the order. You're not up under Yahweh's rule, you're up under Satan the devil's rule. And Satan's going to always tell you, you ain't driving fast enough on wickedness. Look at your wickedness. You ain't doing about 80 and a 55. You need to do 100. Now, when you get 100, do more. Dang speed, I'm just saying more. And matter of fact, why don't you go the wrong way and do more? See, when you ain't got no Yahweh to check you, you're going to be all over the place. You ain't got no stopping. So that's why I'm, see, listen, if you don't have Yahweh yet, Satan will always tell you, do more. You ain't doing enough. Do more. Huh? You kicked him in the ring. Now, slap him in the mouth. That's it. Slap him in the mouth. And be raised your head back, call 911 on him. That's what you're going to run into. That's why you gotta know who your company is. Yahweh man for be with a Yahweh woman. Because we got Yahweh over your checking, but you mess around and get you one of them old loose women or one of them loose men, you expect anything. Because Satan takes over from that point. And what is he gonna do in verse number 19? Read a little bit more. Now he's working on her daughters real good. What else he gonna do to them in verse 19? Let's read a little bit more. What else are you going to do? 19, 20. Take it on down to, just keep on reading now. I want to get down to this beauty thing. Let's see what else he's going to do that we can read. Verse 19.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 19. The chain and the bracelet and the muffler. Verse 20. The bonnet and the ornament of the leg. And the headband, and the tap, and the tablet, and the earring. Verse 21, the ring, and the nose jewel. 22, the changeable suit of apparel, and the mantle of the whip, and the crimson pin. Verse 23, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hood. And the veil. Verse 24. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there should be thick, and instead of girt a wrist, and instead of well set hair, baldness, and instead of the stomach, a girdle of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty.
Instead of beauty. You see what he said gonna happen? You see what Isaiah wrote in 700 B.C.? He said, instead of that, baldness. He said that all because of what in verse 16? Why is he going to do all this according to verse 16? Why is he going to do all this to the daughters of the one called today African American, Negro in color? Why? Verse 16. Why?
Chapter 3, verse 16. Moreover, Yahweh said, because the daughters of Judah are haughty and walk with stretched forth neck and wanted eyes, walking and missing as they go and make it tinkling with their feet.
You see what they do? Well, they make tinkling with their high heels now. They get in their high heels and they make a lot of noise, tick, 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 and then turn around and ask you, what you looking at? What do you mean what I'm looking at? I'm looking at you. See? Then, verse 12.
Verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressed, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you, cause you to error, and destroy the way of your path.
And what the woman say when she can't get the last word? Get out. Is that what they say? That's what they said. When if the last, they get the, they'll tell you what, get out and go back home to mom and dad. That what you do. They'll get a last word and tell you, leave your keys on top of the table. I'm gonna change the lock on you. You in man. I'm gonna change the lock on you, man. Go on back home to your mama. Yeah, see what happened? All this is written what's gonna happen. So who did that be? Who did this be? See, all this been prophesied what's gonna happen to the children of Israel because of one reason and 28 verse 45. Why is all this going to happen to the children of Israel? According to Deuteronomy 28:45, that young man. Why?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep his commandments, law, and the statutes which he commanded you.
You see that? So what did he do in a case like that? What did he do? Let's go to the 17th, the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, and we'll pick up verse 2 down to verse 5. Let's see. Then we'll skip down 2 to 5, 5 to 10, 19 and 20. Let's see. Let's find out. What did he tell Ezekiel behind all that we just got through read? Ezekiel chapter 22 down to verse 5, 10 through 12, and 19 and 20. What did it say there, young man? Come on.
Ezekiel the seer, chapter 20, verse 2. Verse 2 to verse 5. And then 5 to 10, 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 2. Then came the word of Yahweh to me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and said to them, Thus said Yahweh, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, said Yahweh, I will not be required of by you. Verse 4, will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? And caused them to know the abomination of their father. Verse 5. It said to them, Thus said Yahweh, in the day when I choose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the family of Israel, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, the bondage, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Right. Verse 6. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them, I bring them forth from the land of Egypt.
Hold on, young man. You're talking good 2 through 5. I skipped down 10 through 12 and 19 and 20. Now you were rolling real good. Now I was getting happy with you now. 10 down
chapter
verse
20.
12, 19 and 20. 10
chapter
12. Hold on, young man. We on already done 2 through 5. Now, you got already written down, skip down 10 through 12 and 19 and 20. Go on, you're not lying, you're fine real good now. Keep it going, come on.
Ezekiel chapter 20, 10 to 12, 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, 10 to 12. Wherefore I caused them to go forth from the land of Edom and brought them into the wilderness. Verse 11. So I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment. For if a man do, he should even live in them. Verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my statutes to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh. They sanctified them. Verse 19. through 20. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Verse 20. And hallow my Sabbath, which is the Sabbath. And day should be a sign between me and you, and that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And he also gave you something that the wise man in the world took the lead on. He also gave you something else. He gave you a dietary. He gave you what you should eat and what you should not eat. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 47, young man. He also gave you a dietary. Read 11, 1 and 2. Then skip down to 47. He also gave you a dietary. You, a children of Israel, he gave you a dietary. Yeah, he did. 11, 1, 2, and 47.
Leviticus of the law, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 and 47. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse 47. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten.
He said you gotta make a difference between the clean and the unclean. The beast you eat and the beast you don't eat. You have to make a difference between the beast that you eat and the beast you don't eat. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 1, 2, 10 through 14 and 20. Leviticus 17, verse 1, 2, 10 through 14 and 27. He said, you got to make a difference on the beast you eat and the beast you don't eat. Let's see what he said in Leviticus 17, 1, 2, 10 through 14 and 27. What is that, young man?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 1, 2, 10 to 14, verse 27. Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto Aaron, unto his son, and unto all the children of Israel, and said to them, this is the thing which Yahweh had commanded, saying, skip down verse 10 to 14 and 27. Verse 10. And whatsoever man therefore be of the family of Israel or of the stranger that sojourn among you that eat any matter of blood, I will even set my face against that soul person that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Verse 12. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. Verse 13. And whosoever man that be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth among you, which hunted and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eat, he should even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. Verse 14. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, you should eat the blood. You should eat the blood of no matter of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eat it should be cut off. Verse 27. You said verse 27?
Yes.
Leviticus 17, verse 27. I don't see how far it goes up to verse 16.
All right, that's good enough. Don't worry about it. So he said, tell the children of Israel, you eat no manner of blood. Now, tell me what restaurant that you went to that they done the Ezekiel 24, pick at verse 3 down to verse number 8. Now tell me. Now be honest. Look in the mirror and tell me what restaurant you went to. I don't care if it's big or small, that did this before they brought you your plate. You tell me. Now you tell me, you know, the international line, 609 the Capitol, will answer somebody, 224-600-5579. What restaurant you went to that the restaurant you went to, they done this? What it say in Ezekiel 24, verse 3 down to verse 8. 3 down to verse 9.
Ezekiel 3
down to verse 9. What it say?
Ezekiel 3, chapter 24, verse 3 to verse 9. Ezekiel 24, verse 3 reads, and utter a parable unto rebellious family, nation, and said to them, thus said Yahweh, set on a pot, set it on, also pour water into it. Verse 4, gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, that the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice of bone. Verse 5, take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it, and make it boil well, and let them see it, the bones of it therein. Verse 6, wherefore thus said Yahweh, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece. Let no lot fail upon it. Verse 7. For blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of the rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust. Verse 8. That it might cause fury to come up to make vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock, that it should not be covered. Verse 9. Therefore thus said Yahweh, woe to the bloody city, I will even make the pile for fire great.
So what he's saying, he told you if you're going to eat the meat that he requires, you make a difference. You got to set a pot up there and boil it well to get the blood and the scum out if you're going to eat meat, the meat that he requires you to eat. Now, what restaurant that have you ever went to and you ordered any meat and they was making your order by boiling the meat, the blood out of the meat, and they also done a 317 of Ezekiel, Leviticus 317. Let's see. Tell me what restaurant you went to that you placed the order in, that they put a pot on first and taking the meat that got blood in it and got all the blood out the meat and the scum that's in the bloody water and the scum that took all the scum off the meat and done a Leviticus 3:17. What's the name of the restaurant that just happened? 3:17 of Leviticus. What's it in 3:17?
Book of Leviticus, chapter 3, verse 17. It should be a perpetual statute for your generation throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood.
So what restaurant you ever went to, they feed the meat. Give me 8:31 of Leviticus, if you don't mind. So what restaurant have you ever, when you order something, stop by the restaurant and bring some of that meat. Did they take your meat and put it in the pot, boil the garbage out of it, take away the fat off on it, then wrapped up and gave it to you, or did they just beat it with a steak knife or a knife and got it well done? What did they do? Did they do the Leviticus 8:31 when you ordered at the last restaurant you went to? Meat. 8:31 Leviticus, what did it say?
Leviticus of the law, chapter 8, verse 31. Moses said unto Aaron and to his son, board the flesh at the door of the tabernacle, the temple of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecration, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his son shall eat it.
You see that? So what restaurant you ever went to that they did that for you? You placed the order in, or you came to at the restaurant, and they taking your meat and put it in a pot and boil the garbage out of it, all the blood out of it, trim the fat off of it, then serve you your meal. What's the name of the restaurant you did it at? Or did you just wait on your order from them chopping up in the back? You said, how you want your well done? How did they get it well done? Just beat it down to it turned the black on top of it, beat it up. Huh? That's what they did, didn't it? That ain't how you get the blood out there. You got to get the blood out. Man live by what he say. When you eat the meat, the requirement of Yahuwah, the first thing you do is put a pot on. You take that meat, whatever meat that is, that Yahuwah requires you to eat, you boil that meat well, and you get all the blood out of the meat, and you take all the fat off the meat. Then you serve it to yourself and your loved ones. Deuteronomy 15:23. What does it say, young man?
We're going to Deuteronomy 15:23. Deuteronomy 15:23. Deuteronomy 15, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 23. Only you should not eat the blood thereof. You should pour it upon the ground as water.
He said you're not to eat the blood thereof. You're not to eat the blood. So what restaurant taking the blood out of your meat? So you say, I want mine well done. Well done, don't get the blood out to me. All the way you get the blood out to me, you got to boil it out. Huh? All the way you get the blood out of your meat that required of Yahuwah, you got to boil it out. So what restaurant that you went to, they specifically boiled the meat before they serve it to you? He told you what not to do. Don't eat nothing with no blood in it or fat on it if you're going to eat some meat, the meat that's required of Yahuwah. And then another thing, and when you do eat the meat, what does Yahuwah want you to have with your meat? Huh? What do Yahuwah want you to have with your meat? Let's see what he wants you to have with your meat in 11 verse 5 of Numbers. So when you ordered your meat, did you have a Numbers 11 verse 5? With your meat that you was boiled well and the blood was taken out of it? Did you have 11 verse 5 at your plate? Let's see what 11 verse 5 says.
The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 5. Numbers, chapter 11, verse 5, read. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt, freely, the cucumber, and the melon, and the leek, and the onion, and the garlic.
Did you have a full course meal the way Yahuwah told you to have the full course meal? I want to know. Did you have a full course meal according to what Yahuwah said? Yeah? I want to know. That's a full course meal according to the children of Israel to eat. And let's see that you have, remember, take yesterday's tape and put it together until you tie it all in. No class tomorrow, but you can catch the young line on Pal Talk from 8 o'clock until they got the message across. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock on Pal Talk, Young Lions, they'll be on that broadcast, so and they're gonna rehearse the righteous act. So no, Pal Talk. Learn how to get the Pal Talk and you get on Young Lions tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Now, did you in your meal, did you do the Zechariah 3:10? What it says in Zechariah 3:10 there, Young Lion? Now, in your meal, did you have a Zechariah 3:10?
We're going to Zechariah 3:10. Mm-hmm. All right, Zechariah. We're going to Zechariah 3:10. Zechariah 3:10. Read. And that day, said Yahweh of hosts, should you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree?
Every man up on his vine to do what? Do what, Young Lion?
And under the fig tree.
Up on what kind of tree?
Fig tree.
Fig tree. So when you get off into, if you make it to the kingdom, you're not getting no wings to fly away. What you're going to get is a fig tree to be up under and some elbow room, and you'll be in rulership. But you don't get no wings to fly away. You're going to get you a fig tree. Okay? Let's go to the Songs of Solomon, chapter 7. Songs of Solomon in the regular book, chapter 7:7-13. So now, when you get to heaven, which is called on earth, what you got coming is land and a fig tree. Now, in that fig tree, it's going to be, Solomon going to tell you what's going to be there along with the fig tree in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7:7-13. Let me show you what you're going to be having eternally in the kingdom of Yahweh. In the garden, all over the known world, you'll be running because 12 tribes will be scattered all over the world. So you'll be up under a fig tree. That's going to be your possession. Now, Songs of Solomon 7:7-13. Let's pick out some points of what else you'll be working with. What else you can work with there? Come on.
The book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 7:7-13. Songs of Solomon, chapter 7:7 reads, this, your stature, is like a palm tree, and your breadth to clusters of grapes. Verse 8.
Great.
I said,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Verse 8, I said, I will go up to the palm tree, and I will take hold of the broads thereof. Now also your breadth should be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of your nose like apples.
Like what?
Like apples. Apples.
Ain't that something? Oh! So you going to be where you at, a tree? You going to be having a big tree? Huh? Big tree? Apple tree? Go ahead and read.
Verse 9. And the root of your mouth, like the best wine of my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, cause the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Verse 10, I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. Verse 11, come, my beloved, let us go forth in the field. Let us lodge in the village. Verse 12, let us get up early to the vineyard. Let us see if the vine floweth, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranate bud forth. There will I give you my love.
So you have grape and pomegranate. You have some pomegranate. We have you some nice pomegranate wine. You have grape wine, apple, a fig tree, apple tree, pomegranate wine. So now you're talking about the kingdom. He said, and there let's do a little love. And also he gonna give you something else in verse 13. He gonna tell you something else he gonna give you in 13. Where you make sure the love come out real good. 13.
Verse 13. Now measure. Give us male at our gate. All matter of pleasant fruit. New and old.
Hey, that's something. He had the man to say. He's going to have some mandrake. He's going to make sure you have all the smelling trees, the good trees. I'm going to have you some mandrake. Do you know what the mandrake is for? Do you know what the mandrake is for? Yeah? He said, you're going to be, well, you know, do you know what the mandrake is for? Hold that point. Let's precept that to 30. Genesis verse 15 through 17. Do you know what the mandrake is for? Any idea what the mandrake is for? 30 verse 15 through 17. What's the mandrake for?
All right, we're going to the book of Genesis, chapter 30, verse 15 to 17. Genesis, chapter 30, verse 15 to 17. Genesis, chapter 30. He said, Genesis chapter 30, verse 15 to 17. Genesis chapter 30, verse 15. And she said unto her, it is a small matter that you have taken my husband, and would as you take away my son's mandrake also. And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with you tonight for my son's mandrake. Verse 16. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening. And Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in unto me, for surely I have hired you with my son mandrake. And he laid with her that night. Verse 17. And Yahweh hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob, fifth son. Verse 18. And Leah said, Yahweh has given you.
17, that's it. So the mandrake is for baby making. That's what the mandrake is for. He says, Reuben brought me some mandrake. And you remember we read in the book of Solomon, Songs of Solomon. Solomon said, come on, woman, I got the grapes, I got the pomegranates, I got the mandrake. He said, I got all I need to make it happen. Huh? Mandrake. You see what's going on here? You see what's going to be going on in the kingdom? You have your pomegranate, apples. You have your grapes of the custom. And go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. So you see, the kingdom is not about you flying away on eagle's wings and all that. I'm going to get my wings. No, you can get a... You can get you some. You gonna be boss man up under your trees, and that what you gonna be eating trees off the tree. And look what Songs of Solomon got 8:11-12 say. What it say?
Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 11-12. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard at Behemoth. He let out the vineyard unto the sheep. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Verse 12, my vineyard, which is mine, is before me. You, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200.
Verse 5.
Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaneth upon her beloved? I raised you up under the apple tree. There your mother brought you forth. There she brought you forth that bear you.
Ooh, what kind of tree is going to be upon the young man? According to verse 5, what kind of tree?
The apple tree.
The apple tree. You see what's going on here? Y'all see what you're doing to yourself. This is what's waiting for you if you make a difference of what you put in your mouth and what you don't put in your mouth. you're going to get what you got coming, an apple tree. Go to Numbers 13, verse 20. We read down until we get our point. Numbers chapter 13, verse 20, until we get our point.
All right, we're going to the book of Numbers, chapter 30. Chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13, verse 20. Numbers, chapter 13, verse 20. Numbers, chapter 13, verse 20. Read. And what the land is, whether there be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grape.
Great.
Verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and Rehob as man come to Hamath. Verse 22. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron and was Ahiman and Shishak and Talmah, the children of Anak, were. And Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. 23. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from this a branch of one cluster of grapes, and they buried between two upon its staff. And they brought of the pomegranate and of the fig. Verse 24.
A cluster of grapes and pomegranate. Pomegranate, what you make the wine with. So you see what you got coming in the kingdom? You're going to be cut down of branches of the vine of grapes, and on the same thing going to grow the pomegranate. So that they make the pomegranate wine today with. You can go to your, I think you can get in the store. You can get a liquor store called pomegranate wine. That's what they drink on the feast days. A lot of them drink a lot of pomegranate wine. Yeah. Is that what it's going to do? That's what y'all going to make sure you have. Let's go to Judges chapter 14, 8 and 9. It's something that you're going to have. It's something that you're going to have. See, Roy, when you get in the kingdom, something that you're going to have. And Judges 8 and 9. Hey, young man, what else you going to have?
Judges chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. Judges chapter 14, verse 8 reads, and after a time, he returned and take her, and he turned aside to see the carcasses of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcasses of the lion. Verse 9, and he took thereof his hand, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them. And he did eat. Behold, he took not them that had taken the honey out of the carcasses of the lion.
Ain't that something? You have some honey. You see honey you have in the kingdom. You have a lot of honey. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 17, they talk about it, young lion. Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 17.
All right, Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 17. 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 Read. Now, how great is his goodness? How great is his beauty? Corn should make the young man cheerful, and new wine the maid.
The new wine is that pomegranate, and you have your corn. See, Roy, you have your corn. See, Roy, is your meal got corn in it today? You might well get used to it. That's like if you get to the kingdom, that's what you're going to be having, corn. And what kind of corn you have, 23, 25, or Deuteronomy? What kind of corn you have? Not the corn that comes. You will have this corn when you get into your kingdom. And Deuteronomy 23, 25. What kind of corn are you on line?
Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. And when you come into the standing corn.
Hold on, y'all. What kind of corn?
Standing corn.
Standing corn, not the corn in the can. Now, man got a hand all over that. If you have standing corn, you can be having standing corn from the field. That's why the same thing. We got to make sure we got standing corn from the field. Michael chapter 4, verse 4. Michael chapter 4. So you see what the kingdom is all about? Standing corn.
Right.
Michael 4, 4.
I'll be going to the book of Michael chapter 4. Verse 4, Micah, chapter 4, verse 4 reads, but they shall set every man on his vine and on his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of Yahweh of hosts have spoken it.
So you're going to be upon your fig tree. So that's what you're going to look for. Zechariah 30:15-17, what it say, young lion? Sirach 30:15-17.
Go to the book of Sirach, chapter 30, verse 15 and 17. Sirach, chapter 30, verse 15 and 17. Sirach, chapter 30, verse 15 and 17. Sirach, chapter 30, verse 15. Health and good estate of body are above all gold, and a strong body above infinite wealth. Verse 17, death is better than a bitter life, a continuous sickness.
You see that? He said you will have a strong body. Read verse 16. He said you have a strong body because you're not going to be doing the stuff that you're doing today. You have a strong body. Read verse 16 and 17 again. 16 and 17.
All right, Sirach chapter 30, verse 16 and 17. Sirach chapter 30, verse 16. There's no riches above a sound body, and no joy above the joy of the mind. Verse 17.
So you see, go ahead.
Verse 17. Death is better than a bitter life or continuous sickness.
You see that? Your continuous sickness because you don't want to do what Yahweh tell you to do. Now, what he told you to do is in 2845. What it say in 2845 of Deuteronomy? What did he tell you to do there, young lion?
Deuteronomy 2845. All right, back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Read, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearkened not to the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you.
So, he said, all these curses will come upon you because you didn't keep his commandments. Is this why it's going to come upon you? Because you did not keep his commandments. And what commandment did he give us, young lion? He gave us a commandment in the 13th chapter of Numbers, didn't he? Verse 1 and 40. Did he give us something in the 13th chapter, verse 1 and 40?
Or the book of Numbers.
Yeah, you tell us something to do?
Yes, sir. We're going to the book of Numbers, or the law, chapter 13, verse 1 and 40. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 40,